Recording. Talk, 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 check, 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 yep.
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2, mic sounds nice.
Lights, camera, action! Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for May 2015. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And what we do is I have a deck of cards with the 52 worst movies of all time, so I try to watch those.
Yeah, you are.
In this year.
And I am just going through a bunch of box sets of movies that I bought and never watched.
And then every other movie we watched also in that month. So I had a busy month.
Yeah, I did too. Okay, so for the most part, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to watch this box set. And mm-hmm. it comes out to about a movie a week. Mm-hmm. You know, so like some box sets have 4 movies. I'd watch that box set. Some of them have more and I'd split it in half. Well, this month, I grabbed a box set that had 8 movies in it, and yeah. I watched all of them this month, which seems like a lot, but the movies themselves are a little over an hour each, so like the longest one, I think, was an hour and a half, so it's like, you could get through 2 movies pretty easily when there's like an hour each,
mm-hmm.
so that's how I was able to get through them that fast, but before we even started watching the movies for the month...
Yeah.
The first movie we went and saw was on the 1st.
Yeah.
And that was Marvel's Agents of Ultron.
Slash the Avengers.
Well, I said Agents of Ultron. It's Age of Ultron.
I know.
Avengers 2, Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just kidding.
I liked it.
Yeah, like, it's kind of weird because obviously the first Avengers movie... we were all super excited about, yeah. and it was like the first of its kind to put this many heroes in at once. And then they started showing trailers to the second one, and I didn't seem as excited.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was more the fact, like, oh, we saw the Avengers before.
Yeah, it was a big deal because it was the first time they were all together. Like, this is going to be epic.
Yeah, and then the second one is like, okay, there are parts that I was like, this is going to be awesome, this is going to be awesome, but not as much as the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So going into the movie, I was like, eh, it's going to be a fun movie. It's not going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's not going to blow my socks off. And I was right.
Well, I think... okay, well, for the summary of the movie... Avengers, if you watched the first one already, that's fine. The second one, Avengers, Age of Ultron, right at the very beginning, Tony and Tony Stark and Bruce Banner end up accidentally creating an AI that artificial intelligence that's way too smart, and then he starts building himself up and eventually becoming the villain. Blah blah blah. They fight and all this stuff.
Yeah, but, he's trying to perfect the Earth and make it perfect and stuff, and the villain. I should say, and he says, oh, the easiest way is to start over, like Noah did with the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Noah did with it, but God did with those arcs, kind of thing. So he kind of wants to wipe out mankind.
They added a few more characters, which I thought the new characters were awesome, like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch was awesome.
Scarlet Witch was amazing. But I figured it out. The Avengers movie, you already knew their backstories because all the movies had come out already. Loki, the main villain in that movie, you knew his story because he was saw in the Thor. This, we had all the characters there, but then you had to see the process of Ultron
creating a new character
and seeing it from the start. So that kind of, I think, died down because Ultron is, in the comics, he's a badass and it took a lot to take him down. But in the movie, he's such a badass, but he didn't have time to... become badass, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was a great.
Plus, I think like the second movie too, The Age of Ultron. The characters are like, there's so many characters, and I felt like they're trying to put a spotlight on each individual one.
Yeah, because
there was a scene where you saw like their dream or something like that.
Their fears,
and so you saw like a little backstory of each character, and it's like, it was kind of cool, but almost too much.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and then Hawkeye, you get to see more of his backstory, which I guess makes sense because he's only in the Avenger movies so far.
Because Black Widow was at least in, Iron Man 2.
So every time you saw her, you learned a little more. So it's like, it was almost like force feeding you all this stuff with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And they're saying, he's important, and then like other times they joke on how unimportant he is.
Yeah.
It's like, make up your mind, is he good or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of got annoying.
But, I mean, it was still an overall good movie. Like, they had a lot of cool fight scenes. The Hulkbuster versus Hulk was pretty awesome. I mean, there was a lot of fun stuff. It was a good...
It was a fun movie.
It was a very fun movie. It wasn't as good as the first one. But I walked out with it saying... I gave it an 8.
Yeah, I gave it an 8 as well. Sounds like I'm crapping on it a lot, but...
Yeah.
It was a fun movie. It was just not as amazing as, like... the first one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the thing is, we kind of, I don't want to say focus on the negatives, but the thing is, it's an Avengers movie. There's a lot of action, a lot of crazy shit going on, which you know from the first movie, but it's kind of like, why isn't this as good as the first one type thing?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why, and I don't think I...
Yeah, I still think it's the Ultron thing, where, like I said, Loki at that point, he's already, this is how badass I am, this is me being more evil and badass. This is like, I'm Ultron, what's going on? Well, I'm just kind of in a robot body right now. I need to make myself better.
It's kind of shocking how fast they went. Like, I thought it was going to be a while before the Ultron stuff happened, but it happened pretty quick in the movie, which I guess was necessary to have him evolve throughout the movie and get bigger and stronger and smarter and stuff. But, yeah, so I gave that an 8.
Yeah, me too. All right, well... The next movie I watched was actually on my list. And last month, I mentioned the first movie, Ghoulies.
Yeah, because you watched Ghoulies to before the second one.
I watched Ghoulies like the night before the 1st of May. So I had to watch the second one because that was my list.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you watched the first one because the second one was on your list.
Yeah. I was expecting it to be much worse than it was. Now, don't get me wrong, it sucked.
Okay, was it worse than the first one?
I thought the first one was worse. The second one, it was less worse, but slightly less worse.
Is this the one I'm thinking of? Or am I thinking of a different movie? Is it the worst movie?
Troll 2?
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's not my box set, but I think it's because it's a cult classic type thing.
Yeah.
But Ghoulies, the first one, it was like the guy made the demons come back and all this other stuff, and it didn't really matter because it was bullshit. This, I think they're going off the Gremlins craze.
Yeah.
Because this is like around the time of Gremlins. And the plot was almost... It felt like a lot of the characters and plot were almost the same. The Ghoulies, this movie, took place in a carnival. So the main character's like, oh, right, we gotta make sure this carnival goes well. And then these ghoulies come in into this horror ride, haunted house thing. And people are starting to think that they're like, it's part of the haunted house. And then they like kill people and like, they're like, help me, help me. And they're like, haha, it's funny. Haha, look at them go. And I'm like, this is just bullshit. But they even had, like in Gremlins, the Judge Reinhold's character is like, oh, I'm the manager of the bank, and I'm going to take you out and this stuff and all this stuff. This guy looked like Judge Reinhold, and he's like, I'm going to take over this carnival and blah, 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 and you and your girlfriend, get out of here and stuff like that. And it just took place. And, of course, when all the ghoulies were coming back, the one from the cover came out of a toilet because there was no coming out of a toilet. Fucking, like, I have nothing. It was just garbage. It was 2.5. I gave it 2.5.
2.5.
The first one I gave it 2. So, I watch a lot of movies on my list this month. Do you want to do one?
Sure.
All right.
So, my box set that I watched is called Universal Classic Monsters, the Essential Collection, which has basically all the original Universal Monsters. So like Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, stuff like that. So, the first one in the box, I don't know if they're in a specific order, but I watched it in the order of the box set, which comes with a nice little flip book, as well as this.
It is a flip book. Not a flip book.
But it's an information book.
just a flip book of like Frankenstein's monster standing up.
Yeah, because this isn't in... because the first one...
In chronological order would have been like Mummy.
No, according to this, the first one would have been Phantom of the Opera.
No.
No, wait. There's two versions of it, so this must be the second one. Because I was like, this isn't the Phantom of the Opera I remember seeing the mask of and stuff. So this must be the second one. Maybe it is in order. Yeah. Because it says 1925 is the Phantom of the Opera, But this version is not that one, because this one's in color.
Oh.
Unless it is the same movie, just remastered.
I don't know.
But anyway, I'm getting beyond that. So the first movie I saw was Dracula. With Bela Lugosi as the Dracula. As the vampire.
As the Dracula.
Yeah, so I don't know how much I want to get into each detail, because people know these monsters, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It was, so the first Dracula, let's see the notes I wrote down. What the heck does that even say? Creepy comet.
Creepy comet.
I don't think there was a comet of it. But anyway, so Dracula is a story about this vampire who's from Transylvania, and he moves to London, and he, I don't know, he's investing in land or something. He's buying land to try to make money and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he kills and eats people because he's a vampire.
Yeah.
And
drinks their blood.
Yeah, he turns into a bat.
Now, is this...
This I didn't know.
Okay.
So he can turn into a bat, which I knew, like, at will, but it's like a giant bat. It's probably like a couple feet, wingspan. But he can also turn into a wolf.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, that's new. And did they do a tangent with that and say, okay, no, that's just going to be Wolfman now? Because it's like silver can hurt it and stuff like that. It's like...
See, I don't... There's so many, like, myths and... Not trying to say myths. There's so many, like, stories and stuff about vampires. At this point, I can't remember. Because I do remember, like, Dracula or vampires being able to turn into, like, some sort of familiar type thing. Because I know in Legacy of Kain, he's a vampire, and you can turn into a wolf in that video game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that idea has been around for a long time.
And then, of course, the whole there's no reflection thing, which is his giveaway, because that's how they notice. They open up a cigar box, and there's, like, a mirror in the cigar box, and they didn't see his face.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah! And he, like, runs away, but that's when Van Helsing figures it out, and he wants to kill him.
Now, did he have, like, gypsies and stuff like that in this movie? Or
no.
Okay.
He had, like, a sidekick guy that helped him carry all his crap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was just me looking too deep into it, but there was a scene where Dracula was wearing a pennant, and it was the Star of David.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about seeing a red mist in the front of the castle and stuff, and it was parted, and a bunch of rats came through and stuff, and I was like...
Symbolism?
Yeah, and then he's afraid of crosses. It's like, is this like a Jewish thing?
A red mist parting and rats.
Yeah. I was like, what the heck is going on? Thousands of rats and stuff.
Well, I don't know if rats was he referring to the Jewish people.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, this is kind of offensive.
If he had a Star of David, that means he would be...
No, because they were his rats. The Dracula brought the rats.
Oh.
Through the fog and stuff. I don't know. But anyway, all that garbage aside. Yeah, because so the Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Way back then. But, yeah, I gave it a 7. I thought it was an entertaining movie. I think this was supposed to be close-up, because they always do the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it was showed, like...
Oh, in the light?
Yeah. And he's got that stare.
Comet. But
I don't know why I said comet. It probably said... Oh, count? Close-up of the count? That probably makes sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Creepy. Yeah. So that's what that was. And then I watched Frankenstein. The original Frankenstein, which I've seen before. It's such a great movie.
It is a really good movie.
It's such a great movie. And it's so weird watching it, too, because, like, Young Frankenstein is, like, a parody of this movie.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't notice it when I watched Frankenstein the first time, that they actually did grab the abnormal brain.
Because
he drops the real one on the ground and it shatters.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, this brain's bad. So he grabs, like, the serial killer's brain, which... kind of helps create the monster to be the monster. But yeah, it was kind of a cool movie, like, don't be God type
Yeah
thing. I don't know if you saw, if you haven't heard of Frankenstein, it's this doctor who tries bringing life to dead corpses. Like, he pieces a bunch of corpses together. They find a fresh brain, put it in, strike lightning to bring it back to life. And he wakes up and goes on a rampage because he's like a giant child, pretty much.
The sad thing is, I've seen parts of the... I've read both the Dracula and the Frankenstein books. And I've seen parts of both movies based on the original books. And they're garbage. But, like, it's just so shitty. But, like, I remember, reading about... Like, reading the book in, like, middle school for Frankenstein. And some of that, and watching the movie. I'm like... In the book, it makes a lot more sense as to how... his theories work, as opposed to the movie, like, hey, let's get him and strike him with lightning type thing, but...
Well, it's like jump-starting his heart. It's basically, you know, the paddles
kind of thing.
Restart their life.
Because there's a lot of electricity going on in people's bodies. I'll quick do one.
Sure.
The next movie I watched...
I think you saw more movies
than I saw 12 this month, this next movie, fuck, Down to You. A love story about with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Julia Stiles.
I remember that movie. I didn't see it, but
Don't ever watch it. It's one of those movies where they're explaining their relationship, like, in little parts throughout the movie. And it's one of those where, like, they'll just be working and then she turns. Yeah, him and I, we didn't really get along that great, but this is the one thing I really liked with him doing. Like, they were just... It was almost like a fucking commercial. Like, they'd be, like, checking the papers and they'd just turn the camera... Well, this is happens in this, but I don't know if this is like her one of her first movies or something. But her acting was god awful, and his acting was just shit because it's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it just like the fucking dialogue was awful, and nothing happened in the movie. And there's a guy in the movie who's like I'm sex obsessed and I do all this stuff. Look at me. Look how cool I am. And Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, you're my roommate in college. Blah blah blah. Ha ha. It's stupid. It's just fucking god. It's just not a good movie. It's not a good love story. It's one of those movies that I think kids might have watched. If you might have maybe liked it if you're like you're 10 and you're like, this is what love is like, and this is what college is like, and then they expect that. That's what love in college is like, and then they get disappointed because that's not how life is. And all this dumb shit. Fuck it. I gave it a 2. Fuck that movie.
Oh, I don't know if I said 7.5 for Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember if I said it. 7 for Dracula. 7.5 for Frankenstein.
Unfortunately, I'll go jump to this one next. This is so far the best bad movie I've watched. All About Steve. Everyone, I know, like, a while back they gave the numerous awards for the Razzies, like, worst movie, worst actor, worst lead actor, worst supporting actor, and all sort of stuff that. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a girl who's really shy, I shouldn't say shy, she's really introverted and kind of almost semi-autistic, I think.
Is this the one where she writes for crossword puzzles?
Yeah, she makes crosswords like once a week.
Okay.
And then she ends up going on a date with this one guy, and the guy realizes how weird she is. So he's like, oh, okay, huh. All right, see ya. I'm a camera guy for the news. All right, talk to you later. And he like, just ditches her, and she becomes obsessed with him, and she makes a whole crossword puzzle all about Steve. That's what the name of the movie comes about, All About Steve. And then she starts following him around the country, trying to find him because she's under the impression that he likes her back, and his coworker, the guy who's the anchor on the news,
The weather guy.
Yeah, the weather guy. He like keeps giving her hints, like, oh yeah, he likes you. So she's like following him through all stuff, but
yeah, because it's a weather crew, so they're following, going around the country finding severe weather, so like floods and...
Well, it wasn't even... All the half wasn't even severe weather, because they did this story about the girl with the baby with a third leg.
Oh.
And all this stuff like that. They're just doing like...
See, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Major news stories. But, I mean, it's not...
I just remember being a lot of weather stuff.
Well, yeah, it was like... Yeah, because that's the... But yeah, because they had the baby with the third leg, and then the shootout at the amusement park or whatever, and stuff. But it wasn't... as bad as I thought it was going to be, and I did laugh a few times because, what's his name?
Lowell.
Yeah, the guy who played Lowell in Wings, but David, no, that's not David Hyde Pierce, that's Frasier, whatever his name is, he has three names. And then, no, the guy from Hangover.
Hayden.
Yeah, something Hayden Pierce, whatever. No, I just said that already. Whatever.
David Hayden Pierce.
But goddamn, what's his name? He was American Sniper and whatever. You know the guy. You just picture him as Bram Stoker. Whatever. Him and Kim Jong, Jesus Christ. The main three characters are in the van. They're talking and they make some funny jokes. The way they respond together. I gave it a 5. It was all right.
And then I watched The Mummy. Was another one in the box set.
Is that Bela Lugosi or is that Boris Karloff?
This is Karloff. But it was weird. I don't know what I was expecting. But basically...
Yeah, because Karloff was the Frankenstein's monster too, right? Because I think he had that big face. That's why they...
Boris Karloff... Bela Lugosi was Dracula. Yeah. Boris Karloff was...
The Frankenstein's monster and the mummy.
Mummy. Yeah. But, so... The mummy... They open up a tomb that was never opened. They find a bunch of stuff. And they bring it to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of stuff to the museum. And one guy's like, I don't know why we can't sell this. Because it's treasure... You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's artifacts. It should go in the museum. They're like, we should make money off of this. Whatever. But apparently, when they did that, the mummy awoken. But because of the curse or something, he doesn't look like a mummy. So he looks like a normal person.
Okay.
And he's walking around the museum, and he's trying to find his true love, who apparently is reincarnated in this one person. So he's trying to convince her to join him and stuff like this, and... He can, like, hypnotize people to do what he wants. And, yeah, it's kind of weird.
So it's a lot like The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
No, I was, like... I think I was expecting more of it at the pyramids.
Yeah.
The whole thing, like, takes place at the museum.
Yeah.
I mean, the costumes and stuff looked really cool. They had that going for them, but... I don't know. I was, like, expecting the... walking, shambling mummy that you see in everything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I was a little disappointed by it. And the story itself wasn't that great. Like, oh, he's trying to convince... Like, he, like, hypnotizes this lady to join him, and he's gonna, like... I don't know what...
Fuck her.
No.
Yeah.
He's gonna, like, sacrifice her or something and bring her back with him and stuff like that. And,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really care too much for it. The costumes, I mean, it was decent, but I gave it a 6. I don't know. I like Egyptian stuff, but this was, I don't know, not as much Egyptian stuff as I was hoping. He plays Imhotep.
Imhotep.
And then the next one I watched in the box set was The Invisible Man, which I liked, which was kind of cool because it was like the lion's head. Bar.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking through a snowstorm. This, like, the Invisible Man, he's got his face all wrapped up and stuff, and he's wearing a trench coat, and walks to this bar that has, like, rooms and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he comes and goes, I need a room. They're like, sorry, we only have the rooms for winter. He's like, I need one now, because I just walked through all the, like, okay, so they give him a room, and he wants to be left alone, because he's, like, a scientist, and he's invisible, and he's trying to find a way to become uninvisible.
Or visible.
Or visible. But he wants to be left alone, and they walk in on him in the room, and they see, like, his face is half missing because he's, like, unraveled and mm-hmm. stuff. And then he gets pissed and kills her. And Jesus. Then he goes on this old rampage. He, like, takes off all his clothes. So he's completely invisible, and he's trying to... I don't remember exactly why he's trying to kill everybody, but then all of a sudden the entire police force is trying to stop him, and it's kind of clever because they just have a whole line of police and they're all holding arms and they're walking toward wherever he is because they're mm-hmm. like, one of us is gonna hit him. So they do that kind of stuff, and but then he does like weird stuff where he's like, he puts on a pair of pants and then he just like runs down the streets. You just see pants running down the street. He like knocks over a bike, and like, the special effects are pretty amazing.
Yeah, for how old it
is. Yeah, because obviously they're doing the layer stuff on top of each other. But, yeah, after a while it just became like, oh, we gotta stop this guy. He's like, gonna kill this guy and all this. It was pretty interesting. But it was weird because it's like, oh, it didn't show how he became it.
Really?
He was just the Invisible Man from the start. And then, like, his coworkers that, because they know, the town realizes there's an invisible guy, but they don't know who he really is. And then they eventually figure it out because his coworkers like, yeah, he was working on this thing to turn things invisible. It must have worked. And so then they're like, oh, we're looking for this specific guy. And then so apparently he has this formula that you eject into your skin and it gets under your skin and it becomes transparent based on some rainforest thing or something. I don't remember exactly.
Camouflage animal, yeah.
But it was just kind of cool because it was like they didn't do the origin. They just had him trying to figure out how to turn back. And then like it escalates. He just becomes like a killer. I was like, whoa. But yeah, I gave that one a 7.
I might have to watch this box set after you get done.
Yeah, I'm glad I did, because it was cool to see these original movies, and, I mean, obviously, it's not as scary, but it's kind of cool for, I don't know, the origins of horror movies kind of thing.
Yeah. The next movie I watched, like, all my box set, my list ones in a row, so Ghoulies 2, Down to You, All About Steve. The next one I watched was Meet the Spartans. Now, if you know me, I'm not a huge fan of parodies, unless they're done very, very, very well. Like, Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright's movies are like parodies of like genres, like horror genres and comedy genres and action cop genres. But those almost are like on the border of like homages as opposed to parodies. Now, Meet the Spartans, I realized that the movie 300 came out, 8 years ago? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So, all the references in this movie were from 8 years ago. It's a parody, and all the quote-unquote jokes in the movie, there was no cleverness to them at all. It was God, fuck! Damn it. So at the very beginning, like, they're explaining, oh yeah, the Greeks and Romans or whatever and some of that, like, oh, they always have to take the strongest kids, their strongest babies, so they would toss them in a pit if they, you know, weren't, they didn't look strong or whatever. And of course the first one they had was a Shrek baby, and then a Scottish accent's like, are you my mommy? And then he vomits all over the guy and he drops, kicks him into the pit. That's the first joke of the movie. Then the next one has a baby with a beard, and he has painted on abs. So, of course, that's the main character. So the whole time, the main character has a beard. The whole time he's growing up. And it's just, fuck, God, fuck it. And at one point, he's like trying to teach his son how to be strong, so he just beats the shit out of him. Like, yeah, it's funny, because it's an adult beating up like a 6-year-old. And that goes on for probably 3 minutes of him just kicking and hitting on stuff. The movie, it's an hour and I think 20 minutes on the back, but the movie ended after an hour and 5 minutes. Then it had credits, and then in the middle of the credits, they interrupted it to do outtakes and then deleted scenes, which I guess they must have realized, we should do this joke or this reference, but it doesn't fit anywhere in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God damn it, Carmen Electra is like the Leonidas' wife, because she's like, I'm hot, and she probably was the only one that would have wanted to do it.
Yeah, she did a bunch of parody movies.
Yeah, and there's one point where she's like, oh, like, the woman, she's like, oh, she's mad, she has, like, the venom of whatever inside her, and then she turns into Venom from Spider-Man 3, but one of the outtakes is her just waking up, hanging from a building. And then Donald Trump opens the window and says, you're fired, and he cuts the webbing, so she falls and then shoots a fucking webbing at his hair and pulls his wig off, and then he screams. That was the fuck... Why? Fuck it! God.
Just to throw Donald Trump...
But what...
parody in there.
The Apprentice, God, or whatever. Fucking damn it. And they made all these references like, hey, remember when American Idol, like season 4 or 5 or whatever, and this one guy was on it as a finalist? Hey, let's make a reference to that. Oh, because in 300, everyone knows, like, oh, this is madness. This is Sparta. And then he kicks him in the pit. I'm like, what joke are they going to do here? And somebody says Sparta. He spit. Well, he had extra fucking saliva and he spit. And then he kicked every fucking person possible into it. They had Ellen DeGeneres got kicked in, and Britney Spears shaving her head and having a baby, and old people from American Idol, and Ryan Seacrest, and fucking all these goddamn people. It fucking went on for 5 minutes. Fuck! I can't. There's so many things I want to yell about this movie, but god damn it. This is the first. I gave this movie a 1. This is the worst fucking movie I've seen in a long time. I'm goddamn, and then the fucking at the end, there's one point where he just like, oh, let's do a Grand Theft Auto thing, right? Okay, so it's like he's just doing this really shitty running, and he gets in the car and then plays Barbie Girl. I'm like, that's a reference that's 6 years too late. And then the bad guy gets into it and he turns into a Transformer. And at one point, Ghost Rider pulls up. He's like, hey, Ghost Rider. He's like, ah, and then he sprays him with a fucking fire extinguisher. There's no reason he was there. They just put him in there. It's like, hey, this is a Sony movie. Let's show all these Sony things. Fuck, god damn it.
Tell us how you really feel.
And then the guy who's Xerxes in the movie, like, oh, hey, it's a tall guy, he's skinny and all stuff. So let's have a short, fat man playing Xerxes. And they mentioned, and he looks a lot like the guy from Borat. Remember the Borat movie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the same guy or not, but it looked like him. Fuck, why did the narrator have to say that? We all know if that's a fucking reference, that's what they're saying. God damn it! Fuck. The next movie I watched was Bond...
It was amazing in comparison.
No, it wasn't. Bonfire of the Vanities. Whenever I thought of that, whenever I heard that movie, I always thought of, what's the one of the old guy in the bridge?
Old guy in the bridge?
Yeah, Bridges of Madison County?
There we go, yeah.
Like, I always think of something like that. Like, oh, the Bonfire of the Vanities. I'm like, it sounds like something from, the early 1900s, right? No, and I'm like, oh, it's got a great cast. This can't be bad, right? It's Tom Hanks and Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman and fucking... This should be good, right? It's not. At the very beginning, they do one of those, flash-forward things where it's Bruce Willis and he's, super drunk and everyone's like, ah, hey, you're a great person. And you're like, okay, time to find out why he's famous. He's like, oh, it all started back then. And you find out that Tom Hanks is a character who's cheating on his wife, but he's, a millionaire. And he ends up, when he's cheating on his wife, he picks her up, and then they accidentally drive through Harlem instead of getting off in Manhattan. So they end up going through this bad part of town, and they're being racist as usual.
As usual.
And I think it's Melanie Griffith as the character. But they're driving through town, and they have to move a tire out of the way because it's in the middle of the road. So Tom Hanks gets out, and these two black guys come up to him, and he's like, oh no, they want trouble, which they might have. They never got to the point of attacking him or anything. So he attacks them, he gets in the car, and then she drives off, hits one of the guys with her car, and then they leave. So now this story happens where this rich group of people, these rich white folk hit this black kid who's this honor roll student and all this other stuff. So now it turns into this whole the black people are getting shit on in this culture, and so it's like a white person did this and they need to see justice because if it was a black person did this, and so it turns into this whole race thing. And spoiler, if you want to see it, I don't care, but they turn into this whole thing where, oh, this black guy needs to be convicted, and since Tom Hanks is the main character of the movie, he ends up not getting caught guilty. So it's like, yay, the white people win, I guess. And Bruce Willis wrote the book about the whole story because he was there for part of it. That's it. 3.5 stars. 3.5 out of 10. I don't get it. There's a lot of famous people in that movie. Kim Cattrall was in it, and
so it has to be good.
Well, I mean, not in it. No, but still, it's like that was around the Tom. I don't know, Tom Hanks and Bruce Willis the movie. How could that be bad? Well, it is. All right, I have about 6 left.
Oh shit!
What? How many? Do you have a lot left?
No, I have 6.
All right. See,
And two of them we saw together.
Cool. Those are the last two movies I watched, by the way.
Oh, okay. I watched The Bride of Frankenstein.
Makes sense as to why that one was after.
What?
It was, if they're in order. Bride of Frankenstein, and then Frankenstein.
Well, these are in order.
I know.
Apparently, the Phantom of the Opera is the second version of it.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of sucks, because I wanted to see the original one.
Yeah, it was a little lumpy face, man.
Yeah, because the mask looks like freaking Night Owl.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get to that when I get to it. But Bride of Frankenstein, in case you haven't seen it, is the sequel to Frankenstein. The very beginning of the movie, they're talking to Mary Shelley, who, if you don't know, wrote Frankenstein, is an actress who plays Mary Shelley in this. And they're like talking about how great the first... Like,
so is it actually Mary Shelley or is it...
No, okay. It's an actress. I'm pretty sure. They're talking about how great that Frankenstein book was, and they're referring to the movie version of it. So they're talking about that movie, and it's kind of like a previously on Frankenstein, because then they're showing clips from Frankenstein, and she's talking about it, and she's like, but that's not where the story ends. What? I guess I'm going to have to do a spoiler alert for the first Frankenstein. If you didn't know how it ended, because they explain at the very beginning of this movie how he survived. It's basically the end of Frankenstein, in case you don't know how it ends, is that the town starts, like, the mob from town with torches chase Dr. Frankenstein and his monster to this windmill.
Windmill.
Yeah. And while they're in it, they burn it down, so he dies with the windmill. But in the second movie, they're like, oh, once the windmill started on fire, the floorboards gave away and he fell through to the basement, which was full of water. Oh, okay. Because it's a windmill and that's how they work. So then he survived, the monster survives, and the doctor survives, and the doctor is going to be getting married, so he's engaged and all this. And then this other doctor shows up, and he's like, hey, remember when you made that monster? We should make another one. And he's like, no, I don't really want to. And he's like, yeah, I made an artificial heart, and we can try making a new monster with this heart and see if we can create life from artificialness. Like instead of taking parts, let's make it from original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at first he's like, I don't know. And then he ends up kidnapping his fiance and forcing him to work with him.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And the entire time, the Frankenstein's monster is wandering around and learning things. And he learns how to talk from this blind guy who lives in the woods. And he's like a child learning, oh, fire, bad, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's right. I remember those... What yeah. Were they called? Viewmasters. Remember, like, him being outside a cabin. That's right.
Yeah. So, in the end, they end up creating what they call the Bride of Frankenstein, which doesn't make sense, because Frankenstein was the doctor, and this is the bride for the monster. But...
Maybe it's called the Bride of Frankenstein because she was a key part to him making it, because he didn't want her to
but
die.
But when they created it, he's like, I show you... The Bride of Frankenstein!
Okay.
And it's the other doctor. I keep forgetting what his name was.
Pretorius? Dr.
Pretorius? Yeah, that's it. Dr. Pretorius.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But it was right up there with the first movie. They were both really good. And I wanted to point this out. I didn't point it out when I was talking about the first Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
But these movies, these old ones, they did the credits before the movie.
Yeah.
So the movie ended, and it just said, the end.
Yeah.
So, I guess they wanted it to be a surprise, because in the credits, it said, the monster, played by ? And you're like, who's going to be the monster? And then you watch it. Obviously, if you saw the movie poster, it says his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second movie, you know, it says Boris Karloff is the monster, and then mm-hmm. it says the bride of the monster is ? So I thought that was kind of funny.
I looked up on IMDb. The lady who played Mary Shelley was the lady who played the bride.
That's what I kind of figured, because they look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And she only shows up at the very end of the movie anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that
she wanted her money's worth.
That was so she's at the beginning and the end. She created herself in the movie.
Oh shit, like, this is how it really happened. I know. I was there.
I gave it a 7.5. I thought it was good.
All right.
The next movie we both saw.
Okay. I'll go into another shitty movie then.
Yeah.
Burglar. With Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberger. So, this movie, she's getting out of prison because she got busted for stealing some stuff. Shit. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, you forgot how the movie went.
No, I started thinking of Hudson. The next movie. So, anyway, Whoopi Goldberg is a burglar who steals shit.
Hamburglar.
For people, obviously. Because she, apparently, you find out that she owes somebody money that she borrowed, and he was an old cop. And then, for rent, I don't fucking know. The plot was stupid. But she ends up, this lady's like, hey, you need to go steal these jewelry from my ex-husband because he kept it and it's not in our book, so I want it back. And the lady's like, and she's like, all right, I'm Whoopi Goldberg, sure.
And sure, she says that.
So she goes over to the guy's house. The guy comes back early, and she's like, oh, no. So she hides in the closet. The guy has, like, sex with some random woman he picked up in a bar. And then so she's there all night. And the next morning, as, like, she's about to leave, the guy gets murdered. So she's like, oh, no, I was there. And like, oh, Whoopi Goldberg, you're framed. And then she's trying to hide from the law at the same time as trying to figure out who.
So then she goes to murdered. Goes and becomes a nun.
Yep. the only good thing about this movie, and the reason why I gave it such a high rating, is because
Gilbert Gottfried?
No. Oh. Bobcat Goldthwait is in it as her like sidekick type guy, and he's. Like, his part is the best because he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing type thing. And so when she's, like, trying to stick out at a bar, he just is, like, getting drunk and, like, just trying to talk to women, and it's pretty funny. But then at one point when they arrest him, like, for being kind of involved with it, he's, like, just fucking going off being weird in the interrogation room. I don't know what I'm doing. Is this what it is? And that part made me giggle. But other than that, the movie, I gave it a 3.5. It was just fucking... like, it just felt like Whoopi Goldberg's like, I need to make a movie. But Whoopi Goldberg, you're a comedian. We can add some comedy to it. It's not a funny movie except for Bobcat. And she's like, oh, I'm badass. And I fucking... like, it just... it was just... it. The movie was shit or just she made it shit. I don't know. It wasn't good. 3.5. And that's the next movie you watched with me?
The next one was Insidious.
Yeah. So I know that movie had a lot of people said. I heard a lot of people say that it was creepy and they liked it.
Yeah, it was one of those that I'm like, I kind of wanted to see, but I didn't. Because every time I thought of it, I thought of Sinister. Because it's the same people that did this movie.
Is this Sinister that I'm thinking of? Yeah.
Yeah.
The shitty one?
Yeah.
With not Ethan Hawke, but goddammit.
Yeah, isn't it Ethan Hawke?
Maybe? I don't know.
But every time I kept thinking of that movie, and I'm like, oh, that movie's horrible.
Yeah, it is Ethan Hawke. It's just sick and Sinister. Sorry, yeah. This is IMDb.
Yeah, and I keep thinking of Sinister, and that was a bad movie. And I'm like, but they're making a third Insidious.
Yeah.
So it's got to be somewhat good. And then Scott checked it out when he checked out all those crappy movies from the library.
Yeah, boy.
And then I was like, yeah, let's watch this. Because... I want to know if it's any good.
Yeah.
And these guys also did The Conjuring and stuff like that.
And I think Paranormal Activity movies. But I think years ago, like, it was executive producers or something, but I know they were tied to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited because I'm like, oh, it's not just a handheld camera type movie. It's going to be an actual, you know, plot-driven movie.
So we watched Insidious.
Yeah.
And the very first, I don't know, half hour, whatever it is, felt very generic, as I called it, textbook horror movie.
Yeah.
Hey, we're moving into this new house. doop-a-doo, we are a loving family in this new house. Oh, weird noises. What's going on?
Wait, why are my
Is
books missing?
Is it haunted? Like,
wait, we have a couple of kids that just run around and don't go up the attic. Ha ha ha.
And then kid falls down and get hurt.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
All our stuff is missing. Who keeps moving my things?
Yeah, it just kept getting so, like, yep, we know what's going to happen here.
Don't worry, honey. It's just a new house. You're not used to the surroundings. And at one point, I'm like, it feels like they're going to do this in, like, 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, I can't, like, it was almost like we just could.
Yeah, it was too, I was like, if this whole movie's like this, good God. And it's kind of close. But then they end up moving into a new house.
Yeah.
Because they're like, the house is haunted. They had people, comic relief, ghost hunter guys that weren't that funny, come in.
It was funny, she's getting a hot pocket.
So then they end up going to a new house, and they're haunted again. And then it turns out, I guess it's not much of a spoiler, but the kid is fucked up.
He's a vest. his spirit can wander into the spirit realm, and then it leaves his body open to be a vessel for a supposed demon.
But this whole movie's bullshit because it was years while he was in that coma. How did a fucking thing not take it over this entire time?
Yeah, he was in it for like 6 months, I think.
Yeah, or 3 months. But either way, it wasn't until the very end of the movie when they brought the psychic and the ghost hunter people in to try to, like, save the kid. I'm like, this whole time, you're having issues now? Why didn't the ghost take it over, like, 6 months ago?
Yeah. And the thing is, the scariness of it was, there was a few parts that were pretty fucking creepy.
Uh-huh.
Like, when they turn the light on and there's, like, just this person standing behind the bed. That was the best part. But then you find out, like, oh, the evil demon that's trying to take over the kids, like, oh, he has, like, fire in his face and stuff like that. Like, okay, this is gonna be cool looking when you finally see it.
And then he looks like Darth Maul.
Yeah, it looks like Darth Maul. Like, actually, it looks like he fucking had just paint on his face. I'm like, and then he's, like, just sitting, like, just had these razors on his fingers, like, goddamn, like, just, like, sharpening them. He's like, ah, I'm evil. I'm like, this is...
And the movie itself had so many plot... Not plot holes, but, like, continuity. I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, things didn't make sense. Like, if this is true, then this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But, like, there was so many things wrong with this movie.
Yeah.
To me, I didn't think it was creepy.
There's, like, one or two parts that I thought was creepy. Oh, that's right, because, like, near the end, with the family in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
That part was awesome. Yeah. That part was pretty cool.
But overall, I mean, I didn't think...
No.
Yeah, I did write some creepiness.
Some creepiness.
But it wasn't... I didn't think it was good.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of The Conjuring, how I was hoping that was going to be good, and it was so textbook, and, like, I don't know. It seems like every movie these people do, that it was not English, but you know what I mean. Every movie these people do is not English.
Eh, close.
has been like so mediocre that it's like, who keeps giving them money to make movies that aren't great?
But
oh, it's like we're spending this big budget on a movie that's okay. This would have been like, I don't know.
But it gets people to the theaters because it's not scary enough to scare people away from it. But at the same time, it's
being
scary.
Too tippy-toed around making horror movies.
Yeah, it's either
just make it scary.
Well, it's either gory or it's just, hey, this is a horror movie you can bring the family to because it's super scary, but it's not, but it could be for, like, 13-year-olds.
Yeah. Because this reminds me of all these horror movies I watched when we were, like, younger.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, the Amityville Horror and stuff. It's just so generic.
You know, I actually was looking up, because I looked up a list of, like, all the scariest books ever written,
mm-hmm.
and I also started looking up a list of all the scariest movies ever made, and there are so many of those that I watched. And, like, some of them are scary, but some of them aren't that scary. It's just creepy because, I mean, sure, it's with those... I'm like, because I want to find a movie that I don't realize exists and is creepy as hell.
Yeah, the closest, I think, was Mama.
Yeah. But, like, yeah. Like,
there's got to be more than that movie out there.
Yeah.
That don't, like, that are American made.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of movies I've watched in the past that I kind of want to rewatch them this year again,
mm-hmm.
because I remember them being good and scary and creepy, but I can't remember a lot about them. Like Suspiria, I watched that one years ago, and that was on the list. Mm-hmm. And then another one I think is called They Live. I could be wrong, but I borrowed it from Tony Mayer a while back. Tony, You probably still have that. It was made by the people that made Alien.
And I remember seeing that that video cover a lot at Hollywood Video.
It was a cool movie, even though I knew the whole story. It was really cool.
Then the next movie...
Oh, what'd you give it?
Oh, I gave it a 3.5.
Whoa, I gave it a 5.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. Remember, I'm not watching shitty movies all month, so this is the worst movie I saw.
Oh, I wish.
The next movie you also watched, and that was Wolfman. The Wolfman.
Yeah.
Which Scott wants to point out, they never said that he had nards in the movie.
He didn't have nards.
They never said it. Okay, so Wolfman, there's a bunch of gypsies that come into town. One of them happens to be a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see him, he's just a regular wolf.
Yeah.
He attacks this guy, and the guy also becomes a wolf, but he's the wolf man, like half man, half wolf, where the other guy was a full wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get that part. But anyway...
Maybe he had it for a long time, so he eventually became more wolf-like?
So that's basically the premise of the movie, and this... they end up killing... Well, they killed the wolf, the gypsy wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns back into a human, and his skull was caved in.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to find the killer.
Which, I do like the fact that in the movie, they don't necessarily realize entirely that Silver kills him. He just beats the shit out of the wolf
with a cane
that has a silver end.
Right.
Which is also like in a dog's face or a wolf's face.
Yeah.
I'm like, they didn't really necessarily say, hey, we need this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was
convenient.
Yeah.
But anyway, before the guy turns into a wolf, man, he was a pervert.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
So he has, like, he's in his house or whatever, and he's got this giant telescope, and he's looking in this window at this girl, and she's getting ready for work and stuff like that. She leaves and goes to work, and he's like, I'm going to go visit her at her workplace and tell her, hey, I like those earrings you had on your desk. What? Yeah, I saw into your window. Yeah,
I watch you.
I watched you in your window. How did you see me? Well, I had a telescope, and she's okay with this.
He's like, oh, do you want to go out? I'm engaged. I'm calling the police.
Yeah, if I walked up to a girl and said, hey, I like that stuff you have, how'd you know? I was looking in your window with my telescope. I would have the police.
Also, I just realized a lot of old movies, like a lot of old, like, especially horror type movies or at least romance movies, they're never married. They're always engaged. It's like,
because there's a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Like nowadays, like, oh, they're married. Fuck it. We're going to get together, whether we're married or not. It's like, back then, they had such more moral values. It's like, oh, fiancé, we could break off the marriage, because this is true love type thing. But.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.
I think I did too. Yep, I gave it a 7.
Yeah.
it was cool. It was exactly what, I don't know, like, old movies, like, This one was
what I expected. I didn't realize there was gypsies and stuff in it, but it makes sense.
Yeah, but back then, like,
as far as the monster part and stuff.
A couple years back, they remade the Wolfman, but I like these sets, like in these old movies, because the sets are so small.
It's just filled with fog, so you don't see the lines.
Because I imagine, I know, like in the new one, it's like, oh, across this whole field and stuff. But here, it's like, oh, we're in a swamp with a tree here. It's like, I don't know. It just seems like. I like the style of old movies more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. The next movie I watched was, after Burglar, was Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk. I think I watched that in college.
Yeah.
With Bruce Willis.
Yeah. It's not that good.
No.
I
don't remember much. I just remember the person I borrowed it from, he loved the movie and said, this movie's amazing. And I watched it, and I was like, why is this amazing? I think the reason why he said it was amazing was because how bad it was.
So the story goes in this. Leonardo da Vinci, at the very beginning of the show, during the war, they couldn't use a lot of brass because of everything else. So he's like, oh, I'm going to try to find a way to turn lead into brass. And he fucked up. He turned lead into gold. So then he ended up, like, breaking up the crystal that turned it into, like, with the alchemy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He broke it up and he hid it in all of his, like, he had three pieces amongst his, like, stuff. Like, he was in the fucking, I don't know, that that bouncy flying thing and the whatever flying thing he did. But, so what happens, god damn it. There's this group of people that are trying to get the pieces, and they have dumb names like, I'm Kit Kat, I'm Butterfinger, I'm this, like fucking Snickers and whatever.
They were all
They're all candy bars names. Almond Joy, that's right, that was her. And there's one guy, he's the muscle. One guy who just copies everybody else, which I don't know why he was in the movie. And then, like, the woman, she just, like, talks to people, and I don't remember what everyone else does. It was dumb. But they're trying to get the pieces together, and you find out that they're hired by these billionaires who are, like, just insane and weird. Like, oh, we need to do this. They want to, even though they're like, everything we do, it doesn't matter because we have all this money. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to get the pieces so they could just overflood the market with gold and just basically end any sort of money currency issues.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense because they won't be powerful anymore. Like, oh, be the most powerful people ever. I'm like, no, no money wouldn't matter. So I don't know why they want to do that. Because
they would have silver and then they would be better than gold.
Whatever. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. but then also at the same time, there's a woman who works at the Vatican, and she's a nun who, like, is a secret agent nun who's trying to stop the Bruce Willis from capturing all the pieces for all these other people that are actually being done. It's dumb. It's a dumb movie, and I don't really know who the villain is half the time. And there's a few times where Bruce Willis is doing this action stuff, and but then they all just, like, slide in these weird sound effects, like a cartoon, like type things, and it just makes it seem kiddy all of a sudden. But there is one good aspect I like in this movie, because Bruce Willis is, like, a cat burglar, and then him and his partner, because Bruce Willis got out of jail, and then his partner picked him up, he's like, oh, we need to do some more stealing. But when they try to figure out about how much time it's going to take, and then they go, oh, this amount of time. And then they list off a song that's that long. So while they're doing the heist, they're singing that song, which is kind of a cool idea. I like that idea. It's like, oh, 3 minutes, 15 seconds. And they, like, says, like, some Sinatra song or whatever. And then they're, like, going around, like, singing the song and stuff. That's the only thing I really liked about the movie. I gave it a 3.5. All right, what else you got?
The next movie I watched was Stripped, and it was I wanted to take a break from watching all these like Universal movies, because I watched like almost all of them up to this point except the last two.
Quick, speaking of taking a break, Meet the Spartans, I forgot to mention, it's 1 hour and 5 minutes long. I took two breaks while watching that movie.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that, but I figured you would want to talk about that.
Yeah, anyways, Stripped.
Yeah, Stripped. It's not what you think it is. It's a documentary about comic strips.
Yay!
So they interview, like, the guy who did Foxtrot and Garfield and stuff like that. And they talk about syndicated comic strips and how they got into the business and how they got published. And, like, because I guess there's, like, every... I don't know if it's every day or every month or something like that. There's thousands of people, and only, like, two people make it into the newspaper syndicate. Mm. And then the syndicate tries to sell the comic strips to the different newspapers around the country and stuff like that. And if they make it in, then into the syndicate, then there might be a chance that they'll be printed, and then they get paid depending on how many papers pick them up and stuff like that. Yeah, so they're talking about all this stuff and how much work it is. And, like, a lot of these people who do these famous comic strips had to have a second job because there's no way they made money off it until they made it big.
Yeah.
But then it was also the thing that they had to do one every day. So it's like every day they have to come up with original content, like something funny every single day. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes you get writer's block, but you have to have something every day. And like it was kind of cool to hear from the artists like how they got into the business. And then halfway through the documentary, they started talking about how all these newspaper branches are closing and, like, the newspaper industry is dying down. Like, they're like, the newspaper will probably always be there, but it's definitely not once what it was. So, like, if you're trying to get in the comic strip business, you're pretty much fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get a newspaper now, it's all going to be Peanuts and Garfield and, like, yeah. Family. So it's all stuff that's been in circulation forever, and it's just going to keep repeating those old comics.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, if you're new into comic strips, you're kind of screwed. And then it, like, which led into the webcomic industry.
Yeah.
And I forget who the one guy was they were talking to. He was trying to get into the, like, newspaper stuff. And he's, like, trying to get into the syndicate, and they turned him away. And they're like, oh, you can't do this because people can't relate to, like, unless it's, if it's animals or children, it does well.
Mm-hmm.
Black people, not so much. So he's like, well, that's what I want to do. So then he's like, well, I'm going to try going to the internet. So this is like back in GeoCities and stuff like that. So he's like, anybody could get a website. So he's like, I'm just going to do a website and make it there. And then he slowly built up a fan base. And then, like, they were interviewing Penny Arcade people and stuff like that. And they're like, another great thing is, like, newspaper, you're limited to, like, 4 panels or whatever. Online, you can go as much as you want, and they showed the XKCD comic that was, like, I don't know how many feet wide.
Yeah.
The one that's, like, the surface of the earth or whatever, and it's just, like, all these little things going on and stuff, and it was, like, it was pretty interesting, and then it was just, like, then it goes back to, like, Jim Davis and stuff, and he's like, yeah, that's great, but they're giving the comics for free. How do they make their money? Because they're giving these people comics for free, and then they're like, yeah, we just do it because we love it, and then hopefully we start making money off merchandise
or ads or
whatever. And because Saturday morning breakfast cereal, they were talking to that guy, and he's like, yeah, we make all of our money off of t-shirts and posters, like, we do the comic strips every day, and the fans, if you're good, they'll endorse you. If you suck, then whatever. But they were talking about the different niches, like, if you put it in a newspaper, it's got to appeal to, like, everybody.
Yeah.
Where if you have a website, you can appeal to one type of person. Like, so it makes it a little easier. So it was a kind of cool thing. But it was just crazy. Like, I don't know. Toward the end of it, I was just like, wow, these people are way smarter and way more talented than me. But, yeah, I felt like there was some cool stuff, but the documentary itself felt like it could have been, I don't know, structured a little better and stuff, because it was like there was a lot of lulls. There were some interesting interviews. The guy who did Calvin and Hobbes, I guess it was his first, like, time he ever did an audio interview. So they had, like, audio from him, but they didn't have video of him. They just showed his comic strips and stuff because he didn't want to be shown.
Yeah,
but it was kind of cool that they got him to do that, and then he actually drew the cover for the movie, and it was his first time he did any, like, public work since he quit Calvin and Hobbes. It was, like, his first time drawing since, so it was, like, a big deal. But, yeah, I gave it a 5.5. I thought it was average. It could have been better, but it was definitely, I learned some stuff. It was pretty cool. And then the other, I saw 2 more movies this month, and that finishes out my box set, so I don't know if you wanted
to. Yeah, I have 2 more movies. They're just for, quote-unquote, fun. I watched a movie called The Woman in Black, which Daniel Radcliffe movie, a horror movie that came out quite a few years back, which now they have a second one, straight to DVD, I think, or and straight to Netflix. Not in it. Nope. Well, because it takes place, I guess, years after.
Oh, okay.
Because this movie takes place in the early 1900s, because, like, one of the characters, he has a car, and everyone's like, whoa, you have a car. Yeah, pretty much, that was great. Not segue, but just impression of the movie.
I have a car.
Sold. Yay!
This is what the movie's about. A guy has a car.
No,
Christine.
So the movie starts off with Dan Radcliffe and his son, and basically because his wife died while giving birth to his kid, so he's the only one taking care of his kid, and he is like an insurance solicitor type person.
Okay.
So he has to head to a different town. Because an old woman died in this house, so he has to go to the house and go through all the paperwork and stuff like that and figure out all the stuff, like legality and all that stuff. But it's this giant mansion, so he goes to this town for the weekend, and it was like, stay away from that house, stay away from that house. He's like, I have to do this work there. It's got a lot of work to do. And what happens in the house is if anyone goes into the house, the lady that is haunting the house, she...
rapes you.
Kind of... No, she kind of sort of reawakens in a way. Because, okay. Like...
it's, like, disturbing it. Disturbing, yeah, the silence.
Yeah, because if you see her, then she takes vengeance on the people in town. Because, like, she'll...
Oh, so not just that person, but the whole town.
Well... The basic plot of the movie, without giving too much away, but at the same time, it's horror movies, that's like one small plot, and you find it out throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
She had a kid, because you find this out through like her papers and stuff, is she had a kid, but everyone didn't figure her as mentally stable, so they took her kid away from her and gave it to, like, I think her sister, and the kid ended up drowning. So the lady's like, you fucking...
You think I wasn't able to take care of it?
Yeah, you killed my kid. So what she does after she died was whenever anyone saw her, the woman in black, she would kill another child. So it's like, so the town is like, you stay away from that house, because when he goes to the house, suddenly all the children in town are dying. From like, oh, like one just lit herself on fire. Or one, like, just drank poison. One, like, a couple jumped out a window and stuff like that. It's like, Jesus Christ! It's like, this is fucking intense. But, I mean, the movie as a whole, it had some creepy moments.
Was it scary at all?
It wasn't really scary, because, again, it had the thing where, like, alright, he's walking down the hallway, he's gonna open a door.
The music.
I bet if he opens the door, it'll be, like, 2 seconds of nothing, and then something's gonna come out at him. Oh, it's a bird! Ah! Like type thing, but I mean, it did have some creepy moments, and for once, it actually had an ending that it wasn't amazing, but it was a generic sort of horror movie ending, but I was okay with it, if that makes any sense.
I was gonna say, is it worth watching? What did you rate it?
I gave it about a 6. They have a sequel, which I think on IMDb, people gave it like a 5.9 or a 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sequel is 2.9.
But well, the sequel looks really bad.
Yeah, it takes place, like, I think in the... I don't remember what year, but it's like a couple decades later.
It's like one of those unnecessary sequels, yeah, on a movie that's okay.
Yeah, so that I watched that one for fun. I gave it a 6. And then the... Oops, actually, I was looking at the wrong one. Yeah, I gave it a 6. The next one I watched for fun was The Wolverine, because I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Days of Future Past, which...
The one in the Japanese land.
Yeah, the Japan...
House of the Rising Sun. Land of the Rising Sun. Right?
I think so, because House of the Rising Sun is in New Orleans.
Well, because it's... I don't know. It's the flag with the big circle, which is the Rising Sun.
I know, I was referencing the Animals song. But Wolverine, at the very beginning during World War II, it shows like stuff like that happening, where he ends up saving this Japanese soldier's life. And then... it's current day, and he's summoned forth because the guy's like, hey, the old man is dying. And he's like, you gave me your life. I want to thank you in person before I die. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. And then you find out like his granddaughter is going to be taking over her stuff, over his like empire.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to kill her because all this other stuff, so he's like trying to protect her, but at the same time he somehow is losing his healing factor, and you don't find out until probably through the movie why and all this other stuff. And I mean, the plot, it bastardizes a couple characters from the comics, the Silver,
like most Wolverine movies did.
Yeah, they did to Deadpool in the first Wolverine Origins movie. And this movie, they did the Silver Samurai. They just said, hey, Silver Samurai is a big thing from him in Japan, right? Yep. All right, let's have him in there. I haven't worked in the plot. Fuck it, let's do this. I mean, some of the action-y stuff was pretty cool. But other than that, like, I mean, I didn't get bored with the movie. But at the same time, it wasn't amazing at all. But I gave it a 6.5 because I thought it was pretty average for a superhero movie. I liked it because it... had a couple characters that I'm like familiar with, so it felt like, oh, I get to see them again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so I gave it a 6.5.
All right. The next movie I watched was The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Which was the only movie in color in this box set.
Oh.
Yeah. And yeah, I was looking it up that, yeah, this is the second movie because this is perfect for a video or audio podcast. But this is the original Phantom of the Opera that I remember. The creepy guy with the big dark eyes and stuff. Or this one, he has a mask that kind of looks like an owl.
Yeah, the old one is the generic, his multi-sister
sort of sunken
in. See,
that's what I was wishing was in this box set, because that, I don't know why it's not. That was a Universal, and that was the original. But anyway, Phantom of the Opera, I went into it not really knowing anything of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the longest movie in the box set, too, because it's an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, but basically, the plot of the movie is that it's an opera house, and there's a bunch of people, and one of the guys in the pit, he plays the violin.
Mm-hmm.
He's having, tendon or something issues with his hand, so he can't play the violin as well as he used to.
Yeah.
So they fire him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, I've been working my entire life on creating my own opera. So he's, 20 years of work in this thing. So he goes to this place to pitch his opera. And the guy's like, we got a lot of people constantly pitching us stuff. We'll get to you when you get to it. And he's like, this is important to me. Stuff like, yeah, we'll get back to you. And then he shows up, and they're like, yeah, we're not doing it. And he's like, can I at least get my stuff back? I don't know where it is. And he's like, are you kidding me? I want my stuff. They're like, get out of here. We're not doing your play. And he's like, what the heck? And then as he's leaving, he hears music playing, and someone's playing his song on a piano. So he gets pissed. And he starts attacking the guy who was making fun of himself, and he kills him. He, strangles him, he kills him. And the lady that's there gets pissed and splashes a vat of acid.
Which is just lying around?
Well, they're using it because they were, doing film stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it's a film bath. He's like, which, when they first showed him, they're like, careful, that's acid. You don't want to burn yourself. He says that. So then, later he splashes it. So he's running, and he's covering his face, and he, hides into the sewers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you find out that when he lost his job, they're like, oh, at least you were saving your money. He's like, yeah, I was saving my money, but he wasn't. He was, using all of his money to help this actress get better at her job and stuff. So he was, secretly giving this guy money to teach her to become a better, actress, whatever the main actress thing is. So, from a distance, he's been, admiring her and stuff like that. So he gets kind of creepy because he falls in love with her from a distance, and he ends up hiding in the catacombs of the opera hall. And he starts kills the main actress or drugs her or something, so then the girl that he's been helping gets on stage and stuff, and then they're like, no, that's the guy who killed whatever, and it gets to the point where he's, murdering people just left and right now. And they're like, we got to stop him. He's like, well, he said he'll stop killing if we make her a star, but we can't cave into that kind of thing. And and everyone starts getting pissed. But he ends up dropping, a giant chandelier in the audience and killing, 20 people or something like that. And it gets pretty intense. I don't know why all of a sudden he just starts killing people. It's just the acid made you insane.
You dropped acid.
You dropped acid. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I gave it a 6.5.
For some reason, I thought there was a boiler explosion. That's why his face is gone. But
yeah, I don't know. Maybe it.
I know he lived under the thing.
Yeah, because then he ended up kidnapping the lady and wanting her to sing for him while he played the music on the piano stuff toward the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last movie I saw was The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, because in this box set, they give us the 3D version. So I got to watch it in 3D. And, it was really cool to see it in 3D, too. Because back then, they didn't have computers to make stuff 3D. So this was actually shot in 3D. And it was, realistic-looking 3D. And at some parts, it hurt your eyes kind of thing, because there was, plants too close to the camera, so and one eye you could see, the other eye you couldn't. But basically what happens is in the Amazon, the Nile goes through the Amazon, right? The Nile River.
Maybe.
But anyway, they find a part of the Amazon that hasn't been, like, really been to, and they find this petrified, fossilized hand.
Oh, with webbing?
Yeah, with webbing and stuff, so it's kind of like, basically, the creature of the Black Lagoon's hand. They find that fossilized from, like, thousands of years ago, like, maybe even longer, millions, back in the dinosaur ages kind of thing. And they're like, oh, we found this. We gotta see. And they, like, they hire a bunch of people to dig it up and find it. And they're like, oh, it's just the hand. There's gotta be more specimens out here that we can study. And they're like, well, a lot of the rocks, like, the river comes through here, would have washed it into the lagoon. So, like, if we go in the lagoon, we can get soil samples and test it and see if it's the same period.
Yeah.
We might be able to find the stuff. And then while they're down there, there's a living one. And he's, yeah, so like, holy crap, there's a creature down here. And one of them wants to capture it alive so they can study it. The other guy just wants to kill it as a trophy. And, yeah, that's basically the plot of the movie. And the boat,
there's, and the creature's just like, I'm a creature, get away from my house.
Yeah, basically, he's just like defending his territory and tries killing him and stuff. But it's pretty cool because a lot of it was underwater.
Yeah.
And the costume must have been a bitch to make because, one, the creature's breathing underwater. Mm-hmm. You don't really see bubbles like you do with the guys who are scuba diving and stuff. So, like, they had to have a self-containing unit inside the costume. But the costume looked like it was form-fitted, too. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I don't even see where they would put a tank if there was a tank and all this. Like, and his eyes, like, it didn't look like there was slits for his eye. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like fake eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wow. It was pretty cool. Yeah. It was a lot of work. And it looked really cool in 3D. But the funny thing about the 3D is that you could definitely see, like, the screen. Like, they're riding the boat, and the background on the screen is completely flat and, like, moving, you know, so it looks like the boat's moving and stuff like that, so that was kind of funny. But, yeah, I gave that one a 7.5.
Right.
So, yeah, that was all my movies. You saw all your movies?
Yeah, I talked about all my movies.
Okay, the best movie I saw this month was Age of Ultron. The worst movie was Insidious, which are funny because they're both not for my box set. The Universal movie box set, on average, comes out to a 7.
Best movie I saw was also Age of Ultron with an 8. Worst movie was Meet the Spartans with a 1. That's probably my biggest range of bad of like scores. Yeah, I didn't do an average, but most of my movies are 3.5. So I'll just say 3.5.
Well, the only reason I'm doing the average is because I'm gonna
find what the best box set and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, each box set, because for the most part, it's going to be pretty average. Like, but at the end of the year, I want to say which box set was the best, which one was the worst.
Yeah. So, all right. If you want to request any movies for us to watch, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. stuffbyscott@gmail. You want to talk about any movies that we talked about, or let us know if there's any movies you watched because of us, or any conflicting views on the movies, just send me a message. And then, yeah, we'll try to answer those on podcast or whatever. With that,
that's a wrap! ¶¶